Welcome to Systems Meet Humanity, shining a spotlight on the intersection where business structures meet emotion. I'm your host, Marina Darlo. Let's dive in. My first ever guest on Systems Meet Humanity is Mike Vardy. Mike is a writer, a productivity strategist, and the founder of Productivityist, a podcast that routinely tops all kinds of best productivity podcast lists for years now. He's the creator of Time Crafting, a simple, durable, and flexible personal productivity methodology, and we'll talk about it in detail in a bit. On a personal note, Mike was the first podcaster to ever interview me, so he holds a very special place in my own journey.
Hi, Mike. Amazing having you here. Welcome to Systems Meet Humanity. Mike, I want to just launch right in. One of the kind of keystones of your work is what you call time crafting. Could you talk a little bit more about this to our listeners?
Sure. So I think people are always looking to craft their time better. But I think what happens is we tend to look for the tools to do the work for us. And I know you talk about systems, and systems are definitely the way to go first. Tools come second. And that's what time crafting is ultimately. It's a system. It's a framework that you use. A lot of it involves, you know, giving an overarching focus to certain periods of time. So whether it's daily theming, monthly theming, you know, weekly sprints, or even horizontal theming, it's giving an overarching emphasis to certain types of activities during periods of time. So it simplifies things a bit. I talk about, believe it or not, journaling is a part of it. I think journaling is one of the least valued things that you could do to improve your productivity. And, you know, there's different capture tactics I teach. And, you know, I talk about the value of mode-based work. So working by modality instead of by either in a chronological order or by project. I like to describe time crafting as something that will help you feel less overwhelmed and more productive, but also it's a simple, durable, and flexible way to do that.
It's a really rich topic. And I would love to dive into a few aspects that you mentioned a little more in detail. First of all, let me say that it sounds like you're building a palace where each wing has a theme and its own function, and each room has their own color and purpose. And when you were talking, I was thinking about Newport Mansions. I used to live in Rhode Island. I don't know if people are familiar with it. When the Gilded Age reached the Vanderbilts and the like, built their summer homes, they took each room from a certain palace in Europe, and each of them would have a certain style and a certain aesthetic and certain, I guess we would say, focus. It's kind of fun to think about crafting your time with this beautiful model. And
the other interesting thing is that if you think about it in that context, you can always adjust it too. So for example, if you're adjusting the entire look of a room, then you're going to change the furnishings. You're maybe going to move the furniture around. So I think that what tends to happen is people tend to work from, you know, they're just trying to get through the day. So they're checking off the boxes that they can see immediately in front of them, you know, as many of them as they can. A lot of them are boxes that they haven't looked at properly to whether they should be even checking them off at all, let alone that day. And so I think that when you have this overarching focus, it puts you in this state of mind to say, okay, today is the day I focus on communication work. Okay, so that what fits into that room? What fits into that bucket? Oh, well, I'll do more emailing that day. I'll do more meetings that day. And you kind of, again, you can kind of craft your time around that, as opposed to kind of letting those instances kind of run you, which is often what happens, is we just get swept up by our to-do lists and swept up by our calendars, instead of saying, hold on, like taking a breath and saying, you know, I have more control over this than I think. I just need to figure out, I need to personalize it. And that's another thing that I talk about too, is I don't think that there's one way to do it and it's the only way. So people say, well, what should my daily themes be? And I can't tell them that. I can give them advice as to what themes are possible, and I can help them figure that out on their own. But I can't recommend, okay, well, Monday should be administrative day because it's the first day you get back to work, and Friday should be, you know, triage day because it's the day, I can't do that, because productivity is very personal. It's a very personal thing, and time is very personal. And it's something that you have control over in ways that you don't really think about. And I think that once you start putting some kind of framework in place, whether it's time crafting or some other one, you get to see, oh, wait a minute, I do have a little bit more, I have more ownership, more agency over this than I originally thought. And then you can start to modify it and customize it so that you end up with this kind of cohesive and flowing way of operating in working in life that just makes things simpler. Not necessarily easier, but it definitely makes things simpler.
So question, the options you offered, so the communication days and the triage days, and is that what you mean when you say that you work by modality?
So themes are one type of modality. When I talk to people about working by mode, I have five categories of modes that I teach when it comes to time crafting. The acronym is TREAT. So when you work by mode, it's a treat, right? You feel like you're treating yourself better and it's a treat to work. It doesn't feel like you're working that much because you're not. There's not as much friction, at least not as much internal friction. There could be external, but we can get to that a little bit later if you want. So the first one is theme. The theme-based modes are like the daily themes that you choose. So for example, triage could be a mode because you're like, I'm going into triage mode now, or I'm going into communication mode. The R stands for resource-based. So if resources are basically persons, places, things, right? So I'm going to talk to Marina. Okay, what are all the things I can talk to Marina about? Or in my task app, I have three people, my wife, my son, my daughter. So if there's anything I need to do with my son, I just look at that modality and go, I'm going into Colton mode right now. And I say, oh, here are all the things Colton and I could do. Another thing is a place. So what can I do when I'm at home? What can I do when I'm outside? What can I do? So it's about like funneling your focus towards that kind of resources. E is for, I'll just go through the whole thing that way. E is for energy, which we don't really value very much. We often ask, like, what do I feel like doing today? Like, do I feel good? Do I feel bad? Do I feel well? Do I feel sick? Well, you can have tasks where you assign a, like, these are high energy tasks. Either I can only do them when I have high energy, or it requires high energy to do them. And then you can say, okay, well, these tasks require that, but there's other ones that you could do in your sleep, or, you know, some people call them like brain dead tasks or low energy tasks. You categorize those, then if you're not feeling 100% or you're feeling sick, and I was sick not too long ago, most of my day was spent doing these low energy or shallow work tasks because I knew I could do them, get them done, feel like I accomplished something for the day, and then, you know, take the rest of the day to convalesce a little bit. A is for activity. So anything ending in ing, reading, writing, studying. So I'm going into studying mode. Great. Here are all the things I can study. I'm going into researching mode. Great. Here are all the things I can research. And then the final one is time. So I have 5 minutes. What are all the things I can do in 5 minutes? I have 15 minutes. What are all the things I can do in 15? So instead of saying, I'm going to sit down and work on my book, and I'll use that as an example, you'd say, well, I'm going to go into writing mode. What are all the things I can write? Or what are the things I can do for my book that don't take much energy? Or what are the things that I can do for my book that I can only do when I'm at my computer? Or what are the things I can do for my book that will take only 5 minutes to do? And you could do that for anything. I'm going to do some housework. Okay, well, what is the housework I can do that's low energy? What's the housework that I've done outside? So instead of you saying, I'm going to work on the project, you say, I'm going to get into this modality, and then you get into this state of flow, right? Mm-hmm. So when you work by modality, not only can you get into that state of flow, but if you are using a mode that has multiple tasks assigned, you know, multiple tasks with multiple modes, chances are there's multiple projects there. So working by mode is basically the best way you can multitask, because if you email, if you go into email mode and you are emailing 20 people, let's say, and they're all related to 7 different projects, you've moved 7 projects forward, as opposed to working by project where you only move 1 project forward.
Wow. Okay. That was...
So that's a lot to unpack. That's a lot to unpack.
May I please recap it for the listeners?
Absolutely.
Because I'm taking it all in, and you know that I'm kind of in your industry, so I live and breathe productivity and systems. And I really, really like that approach because it makes you get into the right mindset, and the right mindset is really half the job done. So when I'm in my writing mode, when I finally get my writing muscles going, and believe me, it's a struggle every single time, I can write 3 big blog posts one after another, or I can write all the emails that I need, or I can write a launch sequence. You haven't heard that. I can't really write a launch sequence in like one go. It's been a week, but yeah, but
the thing is, if you look at that mode, you could say, okay, let me look at all the writing. Which are the ones that make the most sense to do right now, as opposed to just, I'm going to do just email, or I'm going to, like, it gives you some choice, right?
Good point. My ADHD listeners, I know you're out there. I want to emphasize the flexibility that the systems of this model presupposes. It gives you choice. You're not restricted to just, you know, this particular kind of writing or this particular kind of work. So treat, again, in the interest of recapping, T is triage, right?
Theme. Nope, theme-based.
Oh, theme-based. See, I needed the recap from the beginning. T stands for theme. So your entire time model is themed by, like, you theme your days, you theme your weeks. I know that you theme your weekends too. I just read the blog about your flexibility on weekends. There will be a link in the show notes. It's really good. It's short and very, very to the point. So T stands for theme. My theme today is podcasting. It's like recording interviews. R stands for resources, right? Which is time, place, and people.
People, places, things.
People, places, and things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So what can you use as a resource in order to accomplish a certain task or move a certain project forward? Who are the people you're doing it with? What are the things that you need? For instance, now I need headphones and my microphone and so on. And places, right? So now I need to be at home in a relatively quiet place. I cannot do it at a cafe. Okay, so we've been through themes. We've been through resources.
Yep.
E stands for?
Energy.
Energy. Thank you. I feel so dumb. I used to have such good memory. So energy, which is how much energy you have today. For instance, is it a day where you can barely load your dishwasher, or is it a day when you can craft your new strategy for putting the new product to market?
Yep. Or even at that particular time, if it's an in the morning, you might say, you know what, I'm not a morning person. So let me look at low energy tasks in the morning and I'll do high energy tasks later in the day. Or if you're the opposite, if you're a morning person, you're going to want to tackle maybe those higher energy tasks earlier in the day and the lower energy. So it takes into account that question that we often ask ourselves is, what do I feel like doing?
What do I feel like doing? Right. That's actually, it brings on another question. How do I make the transitions throughout the different parts of my day?
Yeah. Mode-based work will help with that for sure. Because the problem is we have, you know, the primitive part of our brain, and then we have the higher reasoning part of our brain. And when you start to put these things in place with time crafting, you could say, okay, you know, you wake up first thing in the morning instead of saying, what am I going to do today? Which opens up a whole Pandora's box of possibilities, both good and bad. You could say, okay, well, wait, today's Tuesday. Tuesday's video day. Okay, let me look at all the video I can do. Oh, hold on a second. I don't feel very well. Okay, let me look at all the low energy video I can do. Oh, you know what? There is no video. Okay, well, let me just look at all the low energy I can do, and boom, you're on your way. It creates this almost like this flow chart of, what day is it today? It's Tuesday. Okay, so Tuesday's video. Do you have any video tasks? Yes. Okay, how do you feel? Oh, I feel great. Okay, look at all your high energy video tasks then. Or the question might be, it's video day. Yes. Okay, great. Are you at home right now or are you traveling? Okay, so you're not relying on emotion to make decisions at the last minute, because emotional responses to your to-do list will largely have you do the wrong thing.
Ah,
or they will
stay, you know, here. I want to have it as a tweetable. Could you please repeat the sentence?
Oh, God.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Using emotion alone to guide you along through your to-do list will lead you to doing the wrong things.
Yes. Tweet that, people.
And the reason is because you're not applying reason or logic to it. You know, I got a new book in the mail yesterday, and it's like, oh, man, I want to read this new book, but I have 14 books in front of it. So because it's a shiny new thing, I'm like, oh, this is a new thing I want to play with. My emotional response is, let's get into this. But my reason response is like, hold on a second, let's add it to the list, attach some, you know, proper modes to it. So when you put these in place, and it takes a while, it's not something that happens like overnight. Your brain will eventually go, no, this is great. I recognize this emotion. I know I'm excited about it. Let's see where it fits. As opposed to, let me just start reading right now.
I want to go back to the two letters that I left.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do is I'm also going to give you, I'll give you a link at the end so people can actually go download the PDF. We were at energy. The next one is A. So that's where we're at.
So what does the A stand for? I completely got out of my mind. Attention?
Activity.
Okay, I had a question about this when you were talking about it first.
Sure.
So activity, you said that's anything that ends up in ING. So it's, and you said reading, researching.
Studying, money managing. Verbs. Basically verbs. And the reason that these work really well is people capture items on their to-do list absolutely terribly as well.
Yes.
So for example, what if you wrote down milk, just the word milk on a post-it note? Well, what does that mean? It probably means that you have to go buy milk. but do you know that for sure? You want to remove doubt from anything that you capture because you don't want to spend that brain power trying to decipher code, which is why when I work with clients and they say, I look at their to-do list, I'm like, you should be able to hand that to-do list to me. And I may not know how to do everything on it, but I should at least be able to understand, okay, you're telling me to cut this fish. But if they just wrote down fish, I would go, do you want me to go fishing? Like, are we playing cards? Like, what am I doing? When you put an activity-based mode in there, then if I was putting milk, and let's say you're going into shopping mode, okay, mm-hmm. Well, that means I'm probably buying milk. But if you're in cooking mode, then maybe milk is going to be used for cooking. So the activity-based ones are nice for people who are driven more by action. I tend to look at the categories of modes as very either qualitative or quantitative. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are very quantitative are time and resource, right? So I need to be here to do this, or I only have this much time to do this. The ones that are more qualitative are theme-based. You know, this is the time of day, or this is where I am, this is what I should be doing, or energy, like how do I feel? Activity dances that line. Like, it's both quantitative and qualitative because it incites action. So that's the A falls in. But you had a question, like, what was the question around it? Because I don't know if I addressed the question.
No, you didn't. You didn't. So when you first were talking, a lot of the activities that you mentioned, they sound like a lot of intake, like studying and researching. All you do, basically, you're collecting information, but you're not applying this information. You're not, you know, taking the research that you've done and creating a new product. You're not absorbing the knowledge that you read in a book and going and inviting people to do a webinar with you. So what I wanted to ask, and I think you kind of answered that, is the activity only, you know, the kind of activity where you observe stuff for reference for future action, or is it action in general, namely going fishing or sitting down and writing?
Well, you mentioned writing, and I have a writing mode. It's not just about taking in. The examples I gave are very much personal. Like, I do a lot of researching, reading, studying. I actually have three horizontal modes, and actually have a blog post about it. And this happens, you know, again, as you're honing your craft. It's like, I decided to make a change. Tuesday used to be my administrative day, which is a day where I focused on administrative work. But when I really like kind of reviewed and looked back, I realized it was a day where I was doing a lot of putzing around. There wasn't a lot of high value work getting done. And I also recognized that you can't just do administrative work one day a week anymore. I just can't. I tried. I can't. So I have these three horizontal themes. And what I mean by horizontal themes is, instead of going by day of the week, I go by hour of the day. So from 8 to 9 a.m., I'm in maintaining mode because I'm not very good in the mornings. From 2 to 4 p.m., throughout the week. From 2 to 4 p.m., I'm in making mode. So that means I'm making something because that's my prime time to make things. And from 10 p.m. to midnight, I'm in musing mode. So that's thinking, you know, journaling, meditating, things like that happen in that time. That I'll do all that stuff during those times. Those are activity-based modes. Reading would fall into that to a certain extent. I'm going to spend some time musing on this, so I'm going to read a bit more about this. But making, like, there's writing. You said creating. You know, emailing could be one if you wanted to. Instead of just saying email, maybe I'm going to use emailing instead. So that way I'm going into the action of mailing people. So no, it's about any kind of action. Again, these tie in nicely to energy. Like, okay, I'm in high energy right now. I can't write when I have low energy. And by the way, the other thing I want to make clear is, don't use, again, you talked about the all or nothing. Don't use all five categories for every task. Like, don't go, okay, well, what theme does this fall into? What resource do I need? No, you will find out which ones work best for you. You may be more of a resource-based person, so that's the mode you'll use most often. Or you may be more of an activity-driven person, so you may use that mode most often. If you have two of them, it's nice because it gives you choice, right? So you might be more of an activity and a time person. Like, hey, I only have 5 minutes. What kind of writing can I do in 5 minutes? Okay, let me look at 5 minutes and writing. Or you might be more of a theme-based and energy-based. Hey, you know, today is audio day. I have high energy right now. What high energy audio tasks can I do? But don't try to, and I've never said this, but I've had people think that this is what they're supposed to do. You don't use all five.
What's the fifth?
The fifth is time-based. Again, that's easy. Yeah. So what can you do in 5 minutes? The key to that one is pick only three times. Don't pick like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. In fact, I normally recommend people, like, 30 is the highest level because no one really gets to work more than 30 minutes at a time on a task in most cases. And if you do, then chances are you're not in a time-based mode anyway. Because time-based modes are more about, again, what can I squeeze into these periods of time now that I have this? You know what I mean? So, for example, a great example is, remember you talked about that meeting day and that person had 10 meetings? Well, what if they had like a half-hour break between meetings? Well, what most people do, again, is they'll go into email for a half hour and they won't get their stuff done in that half hour. So what I tend to do is I say, okay, well, if you're between meetings, look at your 5-minute mode and see how many 5-minute tasks you can get done in that time. You can get up to 6 of them done, right? These are all tasks you've predetermined. So rather than be driven by external, you know, inputs such as email or social media or whatever, or even just reading an article, you could say, okay, I only have 5 minutes, or I only have 30 minutes. Let me look at all my 5-minute tasks and see how many I can crank through in the 30-minute window that I have.
So time-based mode is actually kind of, you can look at it like a collection of tasks by the intervals, but like how long they're taking. Yes. So I have a list of my 5-minute tasks, and I have a list of my 10-minute tasks, and I have a list of my, you know, 30-minute tasks, and you recommend that as the top. So that's what it is, because time-based could be interpreted in so many ways. I want to make it crystal clear. What do you actually mean?
Yeah. So it's, remember, when we're working by mode, we're looking at the task, the actions required. And then the time, the modes attached to it give you more of an indication of, okay, what do I need to have at my disposal to do this? Oh, I only have 5 minutes. Okay, great. What can I do in 5 minutes? I have low energy. Okay, what can I do when I have low energy? Oh, you know, I'm going to start writing now. Okay, what are all the things that I said I want to write? It's basically a way of keeping that primitive part of your brain from going, I don't know what to do, let's just do email, or I don't know what to do, let's just go watch Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. It also keeps you from, you mentioned Netflix, from going down into this vortexes of, oh, let me just watch this episode. And then 2 hours later, like, oh, wait, where did 2 hours go?
And there's nothing wrong with that if that's intentional. It's why email is such a dangerous thing for people. Because there's constant newness coming into your inbox. You get that dopamine hit every time you get something accomplished on your email list. But those things are so fleeting and they're so quick. And the depth of where you may need to go with those is so shallow in a lot of cases. Whereas if you look at your own to-do list, which is stuff that you largely have made decisions on, not necessarily your stuff, other people may be sending you that stuff, you get to make that choice. And we talked about external persuasions and how it can derail you. Well, ultimately, when you use an actual to-do list app or a paper planner or whatever, and you've got your own framework, you are putting yourself in the driver's seat. The reason you've got this job that you're doing is because someone hired you to do it, and they said, we're going to trust your judgment for A, B, and C, and we're going to give you these tasks, and we're going to trust that you're going to do them you're going to prioritize them correctly. And if you are constantly looking at email as your to-do list, then you're getting that barrage of information sent to you constantly, which doesn't allow you to get any kind of depth towards what you should really be working on. And like you said, it sounds like there's a lot. And it's not like I say, hey, okay, you have to adopt mode-based work today and you have to start theming your time. In fact, what's interesting, Marina, is when people start working with me, I can normally tell right away if they're more of a to-do list person. So they look at their to-do list, or if they're more of a calendar person, like, hey, all my tasks go on a calendar. And so then I could say, oh, so they're more time-oriented than task-oriented, or they're more task-oriented. And if they're more time-oriented, then I start getting them to theme their days and theme their, you know, do horizontal theming first, because that's what they're used to doing. If they're task-oriented, like, oh, my to-do list is crazy, it's out of control, then I say, okay, well, what if we started to segment that to-do list up by using things like modes? And then what happens, interestingly, is you could tell that first T is for theme, they intersect. So if you're learning how to theme your time first, you're like, oh, this is great, Mike, but how do I look at my to-do list and know what day I'm supposed to do this stuff? Well, assign a theme to those tasks. And all of a sudden, they're starting to work by mode, by osmosis. I guide them there. Whereas if someone's using their to-do list and they're like, well, what's a theme-based mode? I'm like, well, what if you could say between 11 and 1 every day, you could focus on, you know, maintenance work? Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Okay, so what if we attach that maintenance mode to your tasks that are maintenance type tasks? And then all of a sudden, they're now theming too. So they intersect. Time is more about a quantitative, right? Like, what can I get done in this period of time? Whereas tasks is more qualitative.
What objective can I reach?
Yes, how can I get the best results, the best outcome out of this? Ultimately, productivity is about, what is my intention? My intention is to do A. Okay, great. How am I going to pay attention to that so that I can fulfill that intention? Because you could have all the intention in the world to do something, but if you don't have any kind of way to pay attention to it, then it's powerless. Like, I'm going to write a book, and then you don't put anything in place to help you write that book, then that intention is powerless.
The book's not going to happen.
Right. Conversely, if you have all this attention, right? So you're paying attention to things, but they're not related to any kind of intention that you've set, then your productivity is aimless. It's directionless. You start your day, and then you go, where did the day go? Or,
you spin your wheels.
Right. I spent all day in my email inbox. I had a goal of getting to point B, and now I'm at point F. The idea is, and by the way, when you start to do intention and attention, then all of a sudden you're getting quantitative and qualitative productivity. You have a greater chance of doing that. Then efficiency and effectiveness shows up. Because why are you being efficient in tasks that don't matter? Like, why are you being efficient in things that you're paying attention to that aren't your intention? Why are you being effective in things that are...
So never had your intention in the first place. Like, you can be very effective in getting to the moon if you never planned to get to the moon in the first place. That's kind of pointless.
Yeah, and it's not productive. People go, well, like, oh, it's you got a lot done. You're really productive. Were you? Like, were you?
But you were. Does it bring any joy? Does it fulfill any purpose?
The thing is, though, is that productivity isn't about doing a lot of stuff. It's about doing the right stuff, right? Because you could have people that do a lot of things. You could be a barista at Starbucks, and you could be cranking out lattes and drinks all day long. But if you're terrible with the customers, you're not going to last very long, right? So, you know, there has to be a balance there. And so if my intention is to be the best Starbucks barista, okay, how are you going to pay attention to that? Well, I'm going to take some customer service training. I'm going to pay attention to my quote mentors or trainers. Like, and the thing about time crafting is that if someone was to say to me, Mike, where do I start? I give them, like I said, here's a roadmap. You don't have to do it all at once. You saw my blog post about theming the weekends, but you don't have to theme every day of the week. In fact, chances are you're probably already, like Marina, do you have a day of the week where you do laundry?
Yes, weekends.
Yeah. So is there any one day of the weekend that you do it more than others, or it just kind of depends?
Normally it is, because it also tied to my family regimen. And you also have to take into account the fact that I'm the kind of person who would do this in the first place. But yes, there is.
So you have a day, like, and by the way, laundry for me is done on my family day as well. So chances are there are people out there that are listening right now and not listening that they say, oh, I tend to do housework on Saturdays. Really? So you'd say Saturdays is your housework day. Yeah, I would. But these are the same people that say, oh, I can't theme my days. I can't theme. What are you talking about? That sounds insane. But they are already doing it in certain areas of their life. So what's fascinating to me is I say, look, just give Saturday, like label it, define it. And then maybe you'll notice that, you know what, Tuesdays, I have a lot of meetings on Tuesdays. Really? You do? Well, what if you made Tuesday? They're like, oh, and then they go the other way, which is kind of funny. They go, oh, Tuesday's my meeting day. I'm like, well, that, are you going to do all your meetings on Tuesdays? Oh, that sounds big. That sounds heavy. What if you made Tuesday like your networking day, where it's like meetings happen to be on that day, but when you're not in a meeting, you're doing other types of networking.
A word of warning about the meeting days. So I recently had a client, and she was like, nobody's happy with me because I end up losing communications and I'm not telling people what happened and we decide on something on a meeting and then it never goes forward from that. And then we started looking at her week and we discovered a meeting day, which included, I kid you not, 10 hours of meetings. 10 hours of meetings. Now, can you take any minutes in these meetings? Can you take any actions? Are you halfway delirious?
There are people that go from meeting to meeting to meeting. I'm like, you need recovery time between those. You can't. Totally. And then some people will say, well, then every day is a meeting day. I said, no, not true. I said, if you have something that happens on your calendar that is not aligned with your daily theme that day. So let's say you have an eye doctor appointment. You don't say, well, Friday's eye doctor day or it's health day. It might be. Maybe you're saying, hey, I want to make sure that Friday I focus on health. So any kind of appointments related to health, I'll do on Friday. That's different. But if it happens to show up, all that is an abstraction in your schedule. So you get into the meeting, you go to the meeting, you come out of the meeting. And instead of coming out of the meeting and going to check your email, which is what most people do, you say, okay, wait a minute, hold on. What day is it? Oh, it's Wednesday. Wednesday is my communication day. all right, what communication can I do? So you, it's easier for you to get back on track as opposed to going down this path of diversion, because again, that's what happens is people will get in and out of these little abstractions, whether it's a meeting, whether it's, you know, they're pulled into a conversation, whether they, an emergency happens and they have to go. Having a theme for your day or for your time gives you focus. It gives you clarity. There's this quote, clarity affords focus. What drives me nuts about so many systems out there, Marina, is that so many are like, if you're not doing all the system, then you're not doing it. And that that is so not human.
What you say is incredibly effective at reaching the opposite effect. When you either go big or go home, you either do it all or you're doing it wrong.
Yep.
What will happen? Most people will say, you know what? Forget it. I have no chances of doing it right. I might as well stop bothering. And then you end up with mistakes and overwhelm and frustration and the very essence of chaos in your psyche, the very thing that all the productivity industry is trying to fix.
It's ironic.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if anybody has ever tried to lose weight, and this is one of my favorite analogies because it touches upon the same emotional buttons of self-worth and self-perception. If you ever try to lose weight and people are shaming you for having a candy, or people are shaming you because you only lose 2 pounds a month and not 6 pounds a month, guess what will happen? You are more likely than not to gain more than you lost. You're pretty likely to let your efforts go. You're pretty likely to quit and stop bothering altogether. So that's kind of the same when a system, in a sense, shames you into not doing it right just because you didn't do it perfectly, just because you don't do all the things and not all of your days are themed right from the get-go, and you don't stick to the theme every single day of the week because stuff happens. If you feel ashamed, if you feel that, okay, you broke it and you basically have no chance of recovering, what will happen, right? People stop using it altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing is people will use tools thinking that they are the system.
Oh. Right?
Yeah, they'll get a shiny app and they'll be like, oh, well, this will fix all my problems. And a great example would be Evernote. And I use Evernote. I love Evernote. But Evernote is not a tool designed for time and task management. It is not. It is a resource or information management tool.
Yes.
It is not.
Amen. In here.
So when people, but the other thing is people go, I want to go paperless. Let's say that's their intention. How am I going to pay attention to that? Well, instead of, you know, learning about how they could do it and doing it in bite-sized chunks, like you've talked about, they go, well, Evernote helps me go paperless. What I'll do is I'll take all my papers and I'll just scan them and get them into Evernote. But all you've done is made your physical analog pile now a digital pile because you didn't have a framework or a system inside of Evernote. Like, how are you going to, are you going to have multiple notebooks or multiple tags? And I know for those of you listening that aren't an Evernote user, like it sounds overwhelming just as soon as I start saying, well, are you notebook? Are you tag? Like what? That's the whole point, is that a lot of people, they'll get a tool because they feel the tool is the silver bullet. And all you've done is move your problem from one area to the other. And now you've got two problems because at least you know how to deal with a pile of paper. But now you have to learn this tool. And now what do you blame? You don't blame you. You blame the tool. And you're not right to do that because the tool tends to market it. So I will give them that, is that a lot of tools will say, oh, well, this will help you be more productive or this will help you be more organized. But you have to go in with a plan, and you have to go in with a plan, which is why I've spent time crafting this methodology that is flexible enough to work in different tools. If you're using an app like Todoist for your to-do list or Wunderlist or any of them, if they were to go belly up tomorrow, you should be able to move to another app and not feel like it's insurmountable.
Right.
You should be able to say, well, I can export it. By the way, I've been capturing on paper, so I know what a label is. I know what a task is. And you should be able to move that and not feel like, oh, well, see, the tool, if it wasn't for, like, I'm never using a tool again. So
when you talk about tools and using the tools, and like a tool goes belly up and you're helpless because now you only know how to use Wunderlist, the thing is, the key word here is what you really need is methodology. The tools is just You know, a tool is just the way to apply the methodology. For instance, if you know how to cut fish on, you know, on the level that a master chef does, yes, you probably will benefit from really good knives. But you should be able to cut it with any knife as long as it's sharp enough. It doesn't matter how heavy the knife is, ultimately. It doesn't matter what's the brand. It doesn't matter even which hand you're using, right? If you know how the fish is supposed to be cut, you will cut it.
Conversely, if you don't know how to cut a fish, you could have the most expensive tool and you will still do a far worse job than the expert who is using dull knives.
Precisely. Now, I need to wrap up because this episode is already getting kind of long.
I can come back on some other time.
Oh, God. You're so going to come back some other time. I promise to my listeners that I will have Mike back because we have so many things to discuss. And I love Mike's energy because he's not boring. So, Mike, parting words. What do you want to say as parting words for the episode?
So we didn't get to talk about journaling, but I think that if you really want to start getting, you know, focusing on how you can do more of the right things and pay attention to your intentions, journaling, there's a reason there's this journal called the 5-Minute Journal that you could buy. And there's a reason that, you know, there are apps out there. I would say that one of the things that is highly underrated, but definitely worth your time and energy is to journal. Journal every day, whether you do it in the morning, in the evening, whatever works for you. But just, it's so much better than to look at your journal as to what happened during the day than to look at a calendar and kind of try to remember what you did on those days. And I guess my final reasoning as to why anybody could journal is because you probably already are. If you're on Facebook, you're journaling. You're just journaling for the world. So wouldn't it be better to journal for yourself? And frankly, if some of the things that went on Facebook stayed in people's journals, wouldn't Facebook be a better place? If you spent a fraction of that, like 5 minutes a day, which is, I think, what, 0.04% of the day, it's like so low on yourself, on your own journal, I think the benefits are incredible. We've discussed all this other stuff. Start journaling and it'll help you figure out some of this stuff too. Like maybe journal after you've listened to this episode and take some notes on that. I think there's some value to be had in that.
Yeah. All right. Mike, where can we find you?
Well, I've got a special link because I promised you guys a PDF. So go to productivityist.com. That's the word productivity, then IST at the end of it, but it'll be linked in the show notes. .com/Marina. And I'll put the 5 categories of modes PDF as well as a few other little tidbits in there as well.
Thank you so much for being here. That was awesome.
Thanks so much for having me. I had a great time.
And for the listeners, we'll see you next episode.
Thanks for listening to Systems Meet Humanity. There are show notes and goodies at systemsmeethumanity.com. We'd love your support. Subscribe, leave us a review, share, tell the world. I'm Marina Darlow, and I'll talk to you next week.